The time has finally come. After all of the building and all of the waiting, the rain has begun to fall, the waters are rising, and the Torah tells us in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, V'yavo Noach uvanav v'ishto unishevanav ito elateva mipnei mehemabul. The Noach and his children, his wife and their wives, everyone finally went into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Rashi points out that while at first glance this pasuk seems unremarkable, perhaps even superfluous. Of course Noach entered the ark. And yet Rashi cites an astonishing medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that Noach only went into the ark, mipnei mehemabul, when he was finally forced, mipnei, forced into it, almost physically forced by the waters of the flood. In other words, Noach waited to the last possible moment where the waters were up to almost his nose. He wouldn't have been able to breathe. He would have drowned if he waited any longer. And finally, he was forced into the ark. However, until that very moment, until the last moment, Noach had refused to enter the Teva because, as Rashi concludes, he was mikatnei emunahaya. Noach was of little faith. Ma'amin ve'enu ma'amin shi'avo hamabul. He believed, but didn't believe. He only sort of believed that the flood would actually take place. This is the astonishing medrash quoted by Rashi. And at first glance, this medrash makes absolutely no sense. And this is a problem that's been pointed out by many commentaries over the years. How could it be that we say about Noach, of all people, that he didn't really believe? And how could we say about Noach, of all things, that he didn't really believe in the flood? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had told him that the flood would come. And obviously we know that Noach believed it because he spent all that time, all those years building an ark. Plus, of all people, you're going to question the belief, the emunah, the faith of Noach, a person about whom the Torah itself has testified that he was a tzaddik, tamim, he was an absolutely righteous person. Well, all the Torah that we know about, comparing Avraham to Noach, and maybe he wasn't perfect, and maybe he wasn't the greatest tzaddik of all time, okay, fine. But to call him mikatnei emunah, mamin veino mamin, it seems impossible, illogical, and contradicted by the explicit testimony of the Torah itself. What is going on with this medrash? What could Rashi and the Medrash possibly have in mind? So there are many interpretations, but I'd like to share with you a powerful one suggested by the famed Stipler Gaon in his thin single-volume work on Chumash, known as the Birkas Peretz. And he says as follows, Niravadai Noach hayamamin be'muna shlema shebo hamabul. Obviously, Noach believed in general and specifically that a flood would come. That cannot be what Rashi meant to deny. It's just obvious that it happened. Rather, he says, it does not mean, as certain other Mefarshim will say, that there might be different levels or amounts, quantitatively, how much emunah. In other words, maybe somebody had 70% emunah, and Noach only had 60%, other people have 90%. That's not what it means, says the Stipler. Rather, there are different types or different forms of emunah. Kol zeh haya behakara sichlit. Yes, Noach knew of and believed that the flood would happen, but it was purely an intellectual knowledge or awareness. However, he says, lo Bahakara Chushit. Nevertheless, it never became a truly visceral feeling, something that Noach truly felt in his kishkes, in the full fiber of his being. That's, says the Stipler, is what Rashi and Chazal mean when they say, Mamin ve'enu mamin. Perish, Mamin bahakara sechlit, ve'enu mamin, mamish, ki bahakara chushit. Hainu kemakir, bias hamabul b'chush. In other words, yes, he was a mamin in the sense of intellectually, he knew it was coming, he didn't doubt it. On the other hand, that intellectual knowledge never seeped down into his core of his being, into his soul. He may have known something intellectually, but in a certain sense, there was no sensory perception. It didn't fire everything in his being about the reality. You know, like it's one thing to know something's around the corner, but to actually feel it, to have the hair on the back of your neck standing on edge because you feel it's right there, that Noach did not have. He had the intellectual knowledge, but he didn't have that visceral feeling. And what you see implicitly, clearly, by the Stipler making this point is that there are significant limitations to a person's emunah if it's purely intellectual. It should start intellectually, but it cannot be limited to that. If it doesn't become something that really becomes part of the person, a visceral feeling, a sensory perception, something they can truly feel, then there are going to be limits to how far a person is willing to go. The Stipler develops this broader point by quoting the Gemara in Brachos that says when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was on his deathbed, his students wanted a bracha. He said to them, your fear of heaven should be like your fear of human beings. So immediately the Talmidim were aghast, disappointed, disheartened. That's it? That's what you're going to tell me? That instead of giving me some sublime bracha and telling me about how close I should be with Hashem, what my amunah should be like, and my dveikus should be like Hashem, you're telling me my fear of God should be like my fear of the tax collector? My fear of God should be like my fear that my neighbor might see me doing something embarrassing? That's the big bracha that you're giving us? That's the tefillah that you're giving us? Instead of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, halavai. Oh, halavai, it would be so. What is going on in the Gemara? So says the Stipler, it can be understood exactly based on the distinction we mentioned previously about Noach. Obviously, objectively, Mora Shamayim is greater and more important and more sublime than Mora Basar Vadam. Nevertheless, on a visceral level, fear of a human being seeing you is more gripping and more effective than thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Metzias, it's just scarier. Hakar Chushit, says the Stipler, is more powerful than Hakar Sichlit. Sensory perception has a greater impact to has a great ability to impact a person than intellectual knowledge or awareness. Stipler makes this point similarly about the Gemara in Nedarim, Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, which talks about a person who has anger management problems. He can't control his anger, often gets angry, says the Gemara, that's a very, very bad thing. Kol mini gehenim shaltim bo. Such a person, one day, after 120, all manners of gehenim, all manners of hell will afflict him. They'll be punished terribly in the afterlife. V'lo'od! Not only that, says the Gemara, ela tachtonios shotos bo. He'll have hemorrhoids, he'll have physical conditions that's painful. Says the Stipler, what's going on in this Gemara? Low ode, as if hemorrhoids is worse than eternal damnation? So says the Stipler, of course not. Objectively, of course, Gehenim is worse than any kind of hemorrhoids. But nevertheless, on a visceral, emotional, passionate level, it's easier to be motivated by the fear of a physical discomfort than it is by some distant future eternal damnation. Last but not least, the Stipler points out that the Marsha quotes from the Sefer Ikarim a similar idea that a person is affected more mehamurgash b'chush yoter mimashit ba'el mehanod b'amitut. You're affected more by what you feel than even by what you know to be true. And this is going back to what we started with. This is Mamin Eno Mamin and Noach, an important lesson for all of us all to internalize.